today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of joy that the world gives. I'm giving you the kind of joy that I have. And he said, I give it to you. And God's joy, the world could blow up around you, a nuclear bomb can go off, and you have joy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though the Apostle Peter is older now, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth these days about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, we'll see how Peter links the rebellion of the angels to the rebellion of mankind. Peter draws these comparisons knowing that our enemy is not human. We're dealing with demonic spirits from another realm that roam about looking for ways to deceive us and destroy us spiritually. But at the very heart of God is the desire to save us, to redeem us, and to deliver us from the bondage that Satan keeps trying to impose on our lives. So today, on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as believers, our mission to share salvation through Jesus Christ requires a faith that doesn't compromise. People need to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and the absence of self-motivated earthly desires of the flesh. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Happiness happens. Happenstance, that's where the word comes from. Happenstance. So what is a happenstance? Well, when things are going well, I'm happy. So it's subject to, are you with me? When you marry people, you know, they're there. And I never once say, now, will you, Barney, say to Wilma, I will make you happy all the rest of your life. I'll never say that to them. I always use the words, and Barney, will you serve Wilma all the days? Are you willing to die from this moment forward by forsaking all others? Happy is when you're eating ice cream and that's happy. And that's great. God's given us those things. But joy never moves. Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of joy that the world gives. I'm giving you the kind of joy that I have. And he said, I give it to you. And God's joy, the world could blow up around you, a nuclear bomb can go off, and you have joy. It doesn't mean you're stoic. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean that you don't get concerned. It doesn't mean that you don't care. All those things are true, but you are not moved. That's joy. And this is important for you to know because God has called you and I to pronounce judgment by our lifestyle. This is a tough pill, but it's necessary. A little bit of background on this. On verse 5, when it tells us, the NIV, the New International Version, renders the Greek word, listen, Noah and the seven others, which is no big deal, except that this, that Noah being the eighth person, the others, of course, were Mrs. Noah and his sons and their wives. The Bible's very clear to point them out, even by name, regarding the boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, recorded in the Bible. Now, for those of you who have not been with us in this study, you're at a little bit of a handicap with what I'm about to say. God calls out specifically before us Noah and the ancient world. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just, mark it, number one, a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Are you all listening? Please go back in your mind 2 or 3 weeks ago. Circle the word just. The Bible says, God is explaining, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Noah, which is key, that he was just. The word means blameless. It means that he was correct in his motives and actions. Listen, it means that Noah conducted himself righteously. It doesn't mean he was sinless. It doesn't mean he was perfect. It means that Noah had a heart after God. Amen. If given a choice for you right now, just like Noah, if given a choice right now, to, at any given moment for any given thing, do you choose to obey God or do you choose to obey your self-desire? Noah's overwhelming propensity was his love for God was to do what God wanted. Noah didn't walk on water. Noah wasn't sinless, as I said. By the way, I made a comment the other day, as is normal, on my Facebook about how I thank God for President Trump's pro-life position. And somebody commented right back and said, yeah, but he can't walk on water. And I just thought, God, help that. I'm not even going to tell you what I thought. We're not talking about walking on water. For those, for people who are having a hard time with Trump, you need Jesus. Think about it. You need a savior. Politicians, I mean, with all due respect, Kim, politicians can't save us. We send them to their place of power to manage our freedoms. But listen, Bernie is trying to be God in a godless world. Bernie's world's godless. You need to know that. Hey, young people, any young, there's young people won't be here until third. They're just getting home. I'll say this at third service. Bernie promises you everything. He's gonna give you everything. Listen to them. You're making a political statement. Just you wait. Bernie wants to promise you everything, give you everything. Okay? Yeah, it's not free. It's not free because somebody has to pay for it. What is he doing? He's setting himself up as a God with a little g. You don't need God with a big G. Because then you look to him to provide for you. You look to him to trust in. You look to him to love. Oh, no. You come to us humans. We'll take care of you. How's that gone throughout human history? I can't believe it. Isn't it amazing? America. Sometimes I doubt the level of our education. And if that's not in question, it's our wisdom. Our wisdom's gone. But listen, regarding that verse in Genesis 6:9, we're not done with it. It says that he walked. Noah walked with God. Listen to this. The word in Hebrew is halach, and it means this, to journey onward. Watch. This is so cool. It's so encouraging. To journey onward, to keep moving forward. Do not look back. It means don't look back. Didn't Jesus say that if you're going to love the Lord, put your hand to the plow? A man putting his hand to the plow and plows his field, does not look back. Do you know what happens if you look back? Now, we don't plow our field anymore, but how about this? If you have a nice car, if you have a piece of junk, this doesn't apply. But if you have a nice vehicle, a fairly new vehicle, and it can be anywhere from a truck to a Porsche, it doesn't matter. If you have your hands on the steering wheel and you look back over your shoulder, do you know what's going to happen to you? First of all, if you're in a high-performance car, you can't do that because the movement of your body causes your hands to move and the wheels will you'll go into the next lane. You never look back. Isn't it amazing? Jesus, listen, right here, this word to Noah. Noah walked with God and he never looked back. Isn't that good for us to know? Have you noticed that all of our grief and sorrow comes from past stuff that we keep revisiting? We bring it up. Listen, some of you need to leave that with Jesus. You can actually have a life to live. It's a sad day when some people find their life's existence all wrapped around the stuff they worry about. Man, if I give my stuff to Jesus and I don't have to worry about anything, what am I going to do with myself? You're going to live for him. You're going to be like Lazarus. You're going to be out of the tomb, but you're all wrapped up in worry. And I love what Jesus said about that. Jesus said, somebody unwrap him and let him go. Wouldn't that be great if we saw a bunch of Christians give up their worry and not look back anymore? And you see all these threads and fiber flying and they're spun around, unwrapped from their grave claws and set free. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And that's vitally important. Vitally important. But here's the word I want to dial down on. The mission of ours pronounces judgment. See the word perfect? It's the Hebrew word tamim. And it means this. It's creepy, weird. But if you were here the last few weeks, it makes a lot of sense. It means that Noah was intact. The word means that he was complete without defect. The word means that he was untainted. The word means original. We can translate the word vintage. It means pure in the sense of original. It implies that Noah was special in his generation because he was not contaminated. If you go back and you read and listen to our previous studies, that's eye-opening because it implies that Noah, whatever his profession of faith was in God, it was in perfect concert with his lifestyle. That there was no contamination in what he said and how he lived. And in the context of Genesis chapter 6, if you remember, this verse is telling us that Noah was untainted even in his DNA. He was clean. The Bible tells us in Genesis 6:13, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits and the width of it 50 cubits and the height of it 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark and you shall finish it a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." Isn't that amazing? Think of a cruise ship. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth. How come, God? Why? "To destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all the flesh you shall bring, two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds of the air, their kind, of the animals of their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after their kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and you shall be, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that the Lord God had commanded him, so he did." The flood. Our mission as Christians is urgent because our lives are a pronouncement of judgment upon an unbelieving world that you and I come in contact with. And God uses Noah as an example. Now, it won't make sense until we end with this ending. Take this third and final push, this third and final argument, and this is where it comes together. It says that verse 5, next thing is the fact that he was a preacher of righteousness. Look at that. He was a preacher of righteousness. So what does this mean? Is that in the urgency of our lives living as Christians, we are to be extending mercy. Okay, I want you to mark this. Our life is a walking testimony. I guess what I'm saying is regarding the judgment part, do you remember the old pictures of the guys that used to walk around in cartoons or maybe in real life with a beard? The long white beard, and they had a sandwich board sign, and it said, "Repent, the end is near." Okay? Well, that's how you walk around in this world. Not like some crazy-eyed lunatic, but when you stand and do the right thing, and when you stand up for the right thing, that world in collision is against you, and they'll hate you. Notice, if you go to work and you keep your mouth shut, or that's not even good enough anymore, is it? You cannot keep your mouth shut anymore at work. The people in their conversations demand that you agree with them. Have you been to the college campus? They're not content that you are busy about going from class to class. They want you to sign up. And if you don't sign up, what's wrong with you? Are you a bigot? What, are you a homophobe? Are you a xenophobe? Are you Islamophobe? Which cracks me up because people who say such things, I have discovered them to be Christophobes. They're scared to death of Jesus. But you're a walking sign of judgment. And then mercy. That's what we're looking at. Mercy. Our mission extends mercy. It says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Did you know that? Preacher. The word preacher means, from the Greek language here, to proclaim or herald. We get the word caruso. It's the Greek word carux or caruso. It means to tell or to herald forth, to shout, to extend, to promote, to cry. In the Middle Ages, there was the town crier. It comes from the word caruso. I want to give you a little bit from the Encyclopedia of Britannica. In the ancient Greek and Roman culture, town criers were integral in their position in ancient mythology. For example, Hermes was the messenger of Zeus and the heralder of the gods. The first town crier, likely, were the Spartan runners in the early Greek Empire, 4 to 5th BC century. Later, as the Roman conquest spread throughout Europe, the position of the crier or herald increased in importance to, listen to this and think about your life, to the point that they were authorized to conduct negotiations or to verbalize the demands of the realm or an edict or treaty until it was later made a position of the official court. Spartan runners or heralders would be used to announce the severing of relationships between the powers. Christian, where to be these heralders? The announcement of the separation between entities, kingdoms, powers. We're the ones that pronounce a division between light and darkness, heaven and hell, life and death. Lies on us, falls on us. Which was an official proclamation of war. The herald would also be used to bear proposals of truce, or armistead. Even though the position was official and that it was weighty, in what was proclaimed by the crier, his was a dangerous occupation. If news recipients did not like the message that was being delivered, the herald was most often beheaded for being verbatim, meaning he delivered the message that his king told him to deliver to a hostile power. And if they didn't like it, they cut the messenger's head off, which, by the way, came a saying, don't shoot me, I'm only the... That's where it comes from. Jesus turns right around in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, as an act of mercy to this condemned world. Jesus says, behold, I send you. Now, this is weird, everybody. Jesus says, and I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves, or into the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Did you know that if man was writing the Bible, this is how we would have written it? Behold, I send you out with shotgun in hand and dynamite, so that if you encounter a wolf, just blow it up. And don't take this lying down like a snake. You need to take everything under your own control and make this happen. That's what man would have done if he wrote the Bible. Jesus says, no, listen, I'm sending you out. And with the sending, we go back to Isaiah, do we not? With the sending, I'm sending you out with this divine supernatural power. Oh, you're going to be little lambs. And you're going to be out there amongst wolves. Be merciful. The fact that you're a lamb already shouts judgment to an unbelieving world. You don't need to condemn them. They're already condemned. You need to rescue them from their state of condemnation. But what is implied here? Listen to this. There's an implied, what's known as an implied intent and an implied intent and implication. Jesus is saying that you, my followers, be like me in this dark world. Become a beacon of salvation light to those who hear and believe. However, you cannot be the one without being the other. And the other is the source of conviction and of judgment. A messenger of damnation to those who refuse to hear. This is our Christian life. There are those that will hear us and they'll respond to the gospel. There are those who refuse to hear us and we are their condemnation. I end with this. Are you willing as a Christian to love God enough? Peter wanted you to know this, that the life that you live, people can blame you, just be blameless. People can lie about you, just make sure it's a lie. Let people say whatever they say. Don't worry about it. You just make sure it's not true. Whatever people post about you, you don't need to defend yourself. God says, I'll defend you. Just make sure it's not true. Walk upright. The Bible uses the word circumspect. Live your life in this world as a real Christian. Why? Because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be like his son. Number two, the world's going to hate you for it. Be merciful to them. Extend the gospel to them. Just understand this, that the fact of the matter is that in this life of ours, if we're going to be faithful, the mission will end complete. And this is where we end. This is it. At the end of our lives, our witness will be up. When you and I die or when we get raptured, our witness is over. What is it that we're preaching? Check this out, people. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness and that he did that for 120 years. Did you know something about scholars? Scholars argue. The Bible says, listen up, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, but there is no record of Noah ever saying a word. That's okay. And the arguments are fine on both sides. Noah was a preacher of righteousness because the Bible says he was. What did he preach? We don't know because it's not recorded. Some scholars say, listen, I like it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like it. Some scholars say, for 120 years, that's a long time, yeah? Noah was building an ark. Imagine his driveway. Imagine, you know, people put stupid stuff in their yard. Imagine his yard. And Noah, what are you doing, you old nut? Did he say anything? We don't know. What if he didn't? What if Noah for 120 years just built the ark? What do you think? I'm not telling you to not say anything as a believer. I'm telling you to say what God tells you to say. Your faithful living in this community and beyond, you do all that God has told you to do, but some people are going to receive it as an absolute stench and they can't hear you and they're going to hate you for it. Others are going to hear every word and it will be aroma to their souls.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3. Thank you for being with us. What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, sound spiritual doctrine is hard to find these days. So much material is available to us through the internet that we've really got to be careful what we take in. But unlike Peter and the Christians of his day, we have the New Testament, along with immediate access to biblical teachings through today's technology. And this includes Pastor Jack's website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find unique resources like updates on current events and all that Pastor Jack has to offer to optimize your faith and relationship with the Lord. Bible studies, sermons, along with access to Pastor Jack's social media, they're all right there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.